Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Hey friends, Shauna here, and I'm curious, how do you feel about networking? I always struggle answering the question, what do you do? Because I do a lot of things and I honestly just hate to be put in just one box. Maybe that's your struggle, or maybe you feel like you just don't know how to network. But as our guest, Charles Ruffalo, who is coming to us all the way from the Netherlands, says, the key to networking your way to success isn't actually about you. It's about what you can give.
I would say, what can I do for you? What do you need? Because networking, the cardinal rule of networking is giving. It's not me, myself, and I. It's about giving.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton Game. It will expand your brain.
You're already one of our biggest fans of the pod, but I want to invite you to go deeper behind the scenes with me every single month. Get all the scoops on what I'm loving, catch up on popular podcast episodes, and check out a video with a money tip in each monthly email delivered straight to your inbox. Plus, since I'm a big fan of having dessert first, I'm going to send you an exclusive bonus podcast episode, 5 minutes to reset your money mindset when you sign up as an added treat. Head over to mmoneypodcast.com and enter your email address in the box on the homepage to sign up. Again, that's mmoneypodcast.com. I can't wait to see you behind the scenes. Truth, the only way I've managed to have success at all in my career has actually been through networking. Asking people, who should I know that you know, how can I help you, and can I pick your brain, have been three of the most impactful questions for me, both personally and financially. But as I mentioned, I know networking can induce fear in a lot of us. Maybe you're that person scared of what to say, that you might say something that isn't right. We could go on for hours about these fears, but what I love about Charles's wisdom is that he shares this freedom to throw out all the rules around networking that I thought I had to play by, maybe the rules you thought you had to play by. Friend, you are going to feel so much better about networking after this episode, and I hope you pay special attention to the story that Charles shares about how he first got into networking. It's really a lesson for all of us to listen to those cues that others share about what might be our special talents. Oh, and I forgot to mention one very important thing. He's also very good friends with Stedman Graham, you know, the other half of Oprah. So I feel like I'm just a couple of degrees of separation right now. So let's dive in and banish all those fears around networking. I want to start out, there are a lot of emotions around networking. There's a ton of questions. How do I do it properly? Why should I do it? Does it matter if I do it? What if I say the wrong thing? So many questions. So I thought we'd just start at the beginning. Why is networking critical to your success?
I think it's critical to anyone's success because it's basically who you are. You know, you're born with a network. Your parents turn and say, this is your uncle. This is your aunt. This is the doctor that that brought you into the world. This is your pastor or your faith guidance guy or person. And they bring it in. They said, this is your network. So basically, networking is who you are. It begins when you're born and it goes through life. So it isn't something that's special. Right. It's important because it's your day-to-day life.
Wow. Yeah, that makes sense. Are there ways that, of course, the answer is going to be yes, but are there ways that networking can help you financially speaking? Like if you're trying to get ahead, get a new job, whatever that might be?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, you could start from the beginning. When you're born, it helps your parents financially because they can say, hey, I need some Pampers. Yeah. I don't have to pay for Pampers. Or they helps you where you got to need a babysitter that you get the little neighbor boy or girl, and you don't have to pay them a full amount. You may let them say they can watch television and eat all the pizza they want. So it even helps when you're born. It helps your, like I said, your family to be financially well off because they don't have to put so much money out for the different things. And then if you go to school, it'll probably help you out because you may get a job doing something in school or around the neighborhood. So it'll help you out to collect money for your right. summer vacation. It helps you throughout your whole life. It never stops. It helps you when you're in business that you can turn to other people and say, hey, I just started my business or I have my business, and I provide this service or this, product. Can you buy it or will you buy it? So networking helps you because you're tapping into people that you know and people that know you. And when they need your services or they want your services, they turn to you. So it benefits a great deal throughout life. You need to make money. It's just the way it is. I mean, you cannot get away with it. Unless you're on a deserted island with a couple people, then you can, trade with each other. And you got this skill and I got that skill. And you go back to the way it used to be bartering. I barter this for that. So it's critical. It's critical.
What do you think people have so much fear around networking?
I think it comes because one, the media it's portrayed as something that is special, that it's only for the wealthy people or the people that are famous. And what I try to bring across to people, especially that's why I started my Networking Academy, where I put it online, where people around the world can see that networking is who they are. It's something that was given to them when they're born, and it continues to grow based on your values and norms. When you're building trust, when you build trust with somebody, somebody can turn to you and help you out or support you, or you can give them something. So the media and the world out there will say the only people that are good networkers are these people that have gone to this type of school or who have this type of job or live in this neighborhood, and all the other people that aren't as famous as this person or that person, they don't have a network. But basically it's something that you have throughout your life. So I think it's the way the media puts it out or the world puts it out. That's one way. That's one reason why people may be a little bit hesitant or a little scared or anxious to do it. Another is that people, they think they have to have a certain way of saying something or doing something. And I don't promote or push like elevator pitches because every person you're standing in front of is different. And so you don't want to make a mistake, but you can never make a mistake because no one knows what you're going to say next. So, don't be it's something that you're scared of because it's, you're frightened because maybe you have lost your level of confidence. And so when someone looks at you that you may be, you know, losing your hair, or someone looks at you because you got maybe blood on your shirt and you're, or you're saying the wrong thing, or you're not saying the right thing, and you get embarrassed. And that's life. I mean, it's not perfect. And people think that networking is something that's always perfect, and it's not.
I love that you say that. Something that I wanted to ask you about was, whenever I'm networking or I'm in a group and people always ask that question, what do you do? And for me, there's no short answer. There's a lot of different things that I do. And I always feel very awkward with that question because I don't know how to boil that down or concise it into a great answer. What do you suggest for people like myself in that situation to respond to questions like that?
I would say, what can I do for you? What do you need? Because networking, the cardinal rule of networking is giving. It's not me, myself, and I. It's about giving. So if you're in a situation as you just described, and somebody comes up and says, you know, what is your product? What is your service? That's why I say I don't do elevator pitches. I listen to what the person says. And if I don't know something to ask them, I look at their business card and ask them, hey, your name shows that you may be Italian, or I see that you're using a Gmail instead of having your own company as the email address. Why do you promote Google and not your own business? So there's many conversation pieces that you can bring up. But if you're in that situation, as you just described, I would ask them, what can I do for you? How can I help you? And then see what they say. Put it back on them that you're there. Because remember, networking is not what I need or what I want. It's what the other person needs and wants at that particular moment. I can have the best product and I can say, hey, buy this, I got this for you, but they don't need you. That's why it's important that people know, and my motto is, networking is not who I know, it's who knows me. Because when they know me, they'll contact me. And there's no right answer, because everyone you're in front of everyone who's across from you is different. They may come with a positive attitude. They may come with a negative attitude. They may come prepared or unprepared. So you have to take every case in consideration, because everybody is different. Everyone has different dreams and ambitions and hopes. And of course, in business, you have to make money. I mean, people, it's in business. That's what it's about. You're in business to make money. And it's, I'm not trying to say money is everything, but money is what's going to help you sustain your way of life.
And right. So given that advice, then, I mean, throwing out the whole elevator pitch thing that we were sort of brought up thinking we have to have this, you know, rehearsed line or lines in our head. If we throw that out, then the idea is every person we meet, it's just it's an organic conversation then with that person.
Correct. Based on that individual coming up, you know, of course, look, when you get into an elevator, you're meeting somebody. And you'll say, hello, boom, what floor are you going to? Or are you staying at this hotel, or you're going to this meeting? So you're using the common denominator that you have in common, because networking is finding what you have in common. It's finding the common denominator that we have. And then when you find that, you'll build upon that to figure out if this person is going to help you, they're going to be trustworthy or not. You know, if you go into a restaurant, you see all the people, they're in there for the same reason. If I go to a business outing, an event, I have my own business club, the Network Club, and we do quarterly events with about 150 business people coming. And I tell them, listen, I have enough friends, I have enough acquaintances, and I have enough family. I'm only here to do business. Only through time, you may become my brother-in-law or my sister-in-law or my best friend. But right now, this is about business. That's why it's called a business club. So wherever you go, you're going to meet somebody, and you got to quickly find the common denominator. We're on the bus together. We're in the elevator together. We're working in the same company. We live on the same street. Our children go to the same school. We're at the football match on Saturday or Sunday. We root for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm from Pittsburgh, so Pittsburgh Steelers. So that's what it is. You have to find that.
So once then you find that common denominator, then you can start to ask more questions or build the relationship out from that single thing.
Correct. You'll come in contact with somebody else. And that person's probably maybe as scared or feeling a little awkward as you are, because they may have had a rough day or some family situation could be confronting them, or they need to, you know, score to keep the revenue coming in, or they have to meet their target, or, you know, whatever. And you're going to come in contact with another human being, and you're going to scope that individual to see if they got a smile on their face, if they're reserved, if they're whatever. And that's all different. I mean, if you're going to a school play where your children are, you're networking because you're meeting other people. How you take that to the next level and say, how do I build upon this relationship that I've just gone in contact with, this person that I've just met? That's going to be determined by you. There's no set rules. You can't say, okay, after I meet you, I'm going to send you an email, or after I meet you, I'm going to write on your business card this, or after I meet you, I think it's important that I give you my address or my telephone number. You don't know that. That's what I'm saying. Nothing's programmed. The only thing that's programmed is that you be natural. You go there as who you are. Don't go there as a fake, trying to, you know, say you're someone that you're not. Be natural. And so that's why I say, in every situation you're in, networking is different. But there's a couple things that are common. The thing is to find the common denominator. And from there, you will make the determination if you want to stay talking to that person or if you want to make an appointment. There's no set rules except your rule at that moment that you're meeting someone.
I love that. That gives me a lot of freedom that I don't feel I've had in networking situations. So I love that advice. I'm curious, obviously, we've talked about networking important, surely, if you run your own business. But if you work for another company, how could you use networking to help you?
Well, it depends on what your function is in that job. Everyone has a function that works for a particular company. If you're probably in sales, you're often out of the office. So you're out there trying to make the score, trying to get the bell to ring, to get the extra benefits of scoring. So that's a little different thing. If you're beyond in the back office, you know, you're going to meet those particular people that are in the office with you. Even though as I train companies, and I train companies around the world, and I tell them, don't just give me the salespeople. Give me the person behind the reception desk. Give me the person that's in the back office. Put them in this session, because often they're more eager to get to know people or to score on the promote their company than the salespeople. The salespeople always get the nice thing, benefits. They get the credit card. They can go to a game. They got bennies. But the person behind the desk, they don't have a business card, but they're a representative of the company. Why don't you let them? Because everybody has a network, regardless of who they are. Everyone has a network. Probably that person who works for that company as the receptionist, maybe their neighbor or their brother-in-law is the director or the CEO or CIO of the company that you're trying to get in contact. And your salespeople don't have the contact. They get a database and they think, okay, let me call this person. When in fact, your whole sales team is your entire company. That means everybody in that company should be proud that they work for that company. In some companies, they should get business cards. And when I train companies, I do a network inventory. I tell them, write down where you used to work, three companies where you used to work. Write down where the three companies that you want to try to get as a client. Write down the three places where you used to work and where you want to work and where your companies you want to get as clients, where you're a member of. What are you a member of? You're a member of the clubs or sports club or the local community. And then you write that down. If you got 50 people in your company and each person writes down where they worked, that's 150 companies that you have the possibility of tapping into because that person worked there. So if you're working for a company, you should be involved in everything to try to help that company, because if the salespeople do not reach their target, there's going to be a problem and someone's going to be laid off. And if someone's laid off, that means it's probably right. going to be not the salespeople. It's going to be the back office people. It's going to be the administrator. It's going to be the support people. It's not going to be the salespeople. So I always say in a company, everybody is valuable and everyone has a network. You just got to look at them and see how valuable they are. And that's what a lot of companies do not do. They just say, no, we're just going to give the nice parking places or the bonuses to the salespeople. When in fact, everybody in that company is a salesperson.
In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Talkin' Money under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. And I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted. and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have DeleteMe. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. DeleteMe is not just a one-time service. DeleteMe is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for DeleteMe, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your DeleteMe plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/ETM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/ETM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/ETM.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And we've talked about one already. I know you have these five basic steps towards networking. We talked about giving to your network. Another one that really stood out to me was nurture your network. So what are some of the ways that you could nurture these contacts that you've built up?
That's a kind of an easy one also, but they're all easy to me. Nurture is that, you know, if you know somebody that likes something, like I got some friends that like certain sporting events, or some people that like certain activities, like maybe horseback riding, or their child is competing for a contest, or is studying for an exam. And I see something on internet, or I read something in a newspaper or on a magazine, or I've heard someone tell me, sending them a message or giving them that information, I'm feeding it. I'm nurturing. I'm coostering. I'm you know, rubbing the shoulders of that person. I'm patting them on the back. I'm giving them encouragement, that, hey, listen, I seen what you just did on internet. I seen that you got promoted. That's what nurturing is feeding that network that you have, giving to the people that are important to you. In the neighborhoods, maybe some kids come around the neighborhood and they're selling, Boy Scout or scouting cookies, or they're collecting for a good cause. When you give them money, you're nurturing it. You're feeding it. You're showing that you care. And then it grows. Those people are happy. They're thankful. And they come up and they say, hey, thanks for thinking about me. Thanks for, you know, last weekend for myself, last week, a little kid was in the neighborhood here collecting money for the Cancer Society. It was pouring down raining. This kid, I mean, he was maybe about 10, 11 years old, and he's out there, you know, helping his parents, and he had to come to our house. It was pouring down rain. So I thought, man, this dude is dedicated. I mean, he's committed. So I gave him an extra dollar. I said, here, this is just for you, because I wouldn't be out there walking in the rain like this. And so I was, you know, I felt for him. I had empathy. I thought, oh, I was ex-military and a soldier, and I know what it is to be in the cold and the rain. And he's out here, you know, because parents probably said, go to that house.
Right.
So, you know, you get. Don't give me money. Yes, yeah, exactly. Exactly. You get the door slammed in your face. But that's nurturing. It's giving.
Yeah, I like that. I like thinking about it that way and thinking about your network that way. I think it's a really, really healthy perspective. I'm curious, because you started this business networking. How did you decide to, you said you had a military background, but how did you decide to get into networking?
Well, when I was one reason that I was put in the military, I didn't choose to go in the military. My one brother came back from Vietnam, and he got together with my other brothers, and they decided to take me off the streets of Pittsburgh and put me in American Army. So I didn't have a choice. I joined American Army. One reason was that the GI Bill would pay for my education. So I got a master's degree in business and public administration in two areas. And when I was studying for my master's degree, and I had to find the professors over in Europe, because I was stationed in Europe, I was stationed in Germany, and I had to go to different places to find the professor. It wasn't that the professor came to us. We had to go to them. So if they were in Belgium, we had to go to Belgium. If they were in England, we had to go to England to find them for that particular course. Well, I came across someone who knew that I was going to retire in 1995. And in 1991, I was working on my master's degree. And he gave me this book, which was the American Chamber of Commerce book. And then it was an index books of all the American companies in the Netherlands. And I seen the McKinsey's, I seen the IBM's, I seen the Shell, I seen the Citibank's. And I thought, wow, I'm reading about all these companies in my master's degree program. And it was in English. I thought, wow, that's great. So I joined it when I was stationed in Germany, and I would drive 4 hours to an event.
Wow.
A lunch, and I was in uniform, so I'd have to take off my uniform at a gas station and put on a suit. And I'd have to take a day off from a day of leave to be able to go on a weekday, because it was always in a weekday. And I joined the American Chamber of Commerce in the Netherlands, and I would be early because I didn't know how long it would take. And I'd be the first one there. And you know, they see you and you do different things. And then one of the directors of McKinsey, I thought McKinsey was a guy, but this was a company. And they came up and Buford Alexander, he looked at me and he says, "You're a born natural." And I said, "Born natural what?" I figured he's Director McKinsey. He's Harvard graduate. He's the president of the American Chamber of Commerce. He even was knighted by the Queen of Holland.
Wow.
And he says, "You're a born natural." I said, "Born natural what?" He said, "Networker." I said, "Shoot, if he thinks I'm that good." So I just put on my business card, CDA Ruffalo. Professional networker. So I just created it. And I went out and I gave my business cards out, and people says, "Hey, you know, where are you? What's a professional networker?" And I said, "Well, I teach people how to network." They said, "Well," and the first person to ask me was Roger Long from Nyenrode in the Netherlands, which is like the Harvard Business School in the Netherlands. Wow. He says, "Can you talk to 145 very difficult students, MBA students?" And I said, "Well, it can't be more difficult than 250 soldiers that I have."
Right.
So I just went out there and I made my little 3x5 cards and wrote on there what I was going to do. And I had my presentation. And I went up there and I just start telling them a story. "My name is Charles Douglas. I'm on the Ruffalo. I'm in the military. I do this boom, boom." And then Chris DeFries from Citibank was there, and he said, "Hey, can you train my company?" So then I came up with a training program. So just because someone mentioned something to me and saying, "You're a professional," and I thought, "Oh, this is the business world. Who thinks I'm doing this?" And at that time, there was no such thing as networking. It was maybe called lobbying or brown nosing or whatever. Could be many things. And I just turned it in. I put professional networking. I thought, "Well, crap, I'm going to trademark the word." So I trademarked the word "the network king." I turned a word into a business. And I never thought that would happen. Yeah, it's like some things, you know, you look, if you look at McDonald's, they never knew that they would be expanding so much and going across the world. Coca-Cola did not know that they would turn into a product that would have the biggest logistics system in the world. Nike did not realize that they would become, you know, a stock brand using a Greek name as the Nike Greek goddess of victory. You know, even 3M came out with one of their products is the Post-its. The Post-its from 3M was not, it was a failure. It wasn't a good product until people started sticking it all around. Then they said, wow, this is pretty good. So you don't know if it's going to be successful until you try. And I didn't know that networking, I would always get, and I put professional networker on there, and people say, professional networker, how do you make money? And I look at their business card and I say, account manager. Oh, you got account manager. Don't you got to go somewhere? And I know how much money you make. I can kind of figure that out. So I said, I train companies because that's what I lecture. I train company. And then people, I said, should I get my PhD or write a book? And my good friend said, write a book. It's the best marketing tool. So I wrote a book and became an author. I wrote another book. And then I would join all these business clubs. And I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to create my own business club. So I created the network club and people pay to be members and they come to my event. So
amazing.
It just evolved because the market was ready for it. Then people asked me, hey, do you know President Clinton? I said, no, I don't know President Clinton. I never voted for him. And I was in the military at that time, getting ready to retire. And I said, well, I don't like him because he put certain things in policies in the military that we didn't like at that moment. And so all of a sudden I said, well, I don't know them, but I was a sergeant major of a unit and I had the American ambassador visit my unit. And I met the American ambassador in the Netherlands, and he was appointed by President Clinton. So when someone says, do you know him? I says, I don't know him, but I know someone who does know him. And then I called the ambassador, and he says, yeah, I know you, Ruffalo. I know who you are. And I retired at that time. He says, here, call Dave Slade, his secretary. See, and I thought, wow, that was easy. And that was built on trust. And then I was invited to Clinton's Global Initiative. And I went there and then I met Richard Branson. And I went there and they knew I was trustworthy because I had a background. Met him, met Carlos Slim. Then you meet these different people and you're in the same setting. And you, of course, you got to make sure you handle yourself well. And then that's how it just evolved. I didn't plan it. It just came.
Yeah. That's such a great lesson. I'm so happy you shared that. And I know you also have a connection with Stedman Graham, probably a lot of
people. Oh, that's my very good friend. Yeah.
Now I feel like I'm 2 degrees separation from Oprah.
Well, yeah. And that's what people often say. They say, you know, the old saying was you're 7 degrees away from this person, that person. And
right.
That's a misperception now in the world because you're closer than you think. That's why I say everybody has a network. Everyone is important. You just haven't tapped into who they are. And yeah, I know Stedman. I know him more than 10 years. We're very, very good friends. I bring him over to the Netherlands always. I've been to Chicago there. I've been to Santa Barbara. But networking is based on trust. You can know somebody, but they may not allow you to come into their network. You know, you can live on the same street as other people and you've never visited them. They never let you in their house, but they're having a party and you see other people invited and you're not. So that's why I say networking is not who you know, it's who knows you, because then you're invited, you're given the opportunities. And people like to spend their time with you. And that takes
so
time.
Is the moral also to not be afraid to ask, saying, you know, I want to be connected to so-and-so. Do you have a connection? Because I think some people are afraid to sometimes ask those questions, but that's really how networking happens.
Many people ask and say, Ruffalo, can you bring me in contact with this person, that person? I say, why should I? First of all, why should I do that?
Right.
What have you ever given me? Because networking is about giving. I look at someone, I have a foundation I started 20 years ago in the Netherlands, which is called the Giving Back Foundation, where we go into black schools in Holland. And black schools in Holland are schools that have more than 60% immigrants. And these are people from Somalia, from Iraq, from China, from different countries. They're immigrants. And my family immigrated to America. I'm a second generation from Europeans that came to America. So I know a little bit about that. And so these kids that are in these black schools are not given the same opportunities as people that are in other schools. So it's almost like big brothers, big sisters in the United States. So I started it, and we asked the teacher to give us the best motivated, enthusiastic high school kid, the last 2 years of the high school. And we match him with a business mentor for 2 years. And then when they go into university, we give them a coach, and it's all privately funded. There's no money from the government. We raise the money ourselves. And so when I did this, I thought, I want to give back. And you start this foundation and you give it. And when someone does something for my foundation, I know that they care, because they're not getting anything in the back in return. So I always look and see what someone has done for me, or have done something for my cause, or done something for the community. And then when someone comes and says, hey, can you introduce me to this person? First thing is, what have you done for me? Why should I do that? Oh, because you're the network king. That's right, I'm networking. That's why I'm not introducing you to that person, because you're arrogant. You're disrespectful. You think that anything can happen. It doesn't. Someone's not going to allow you into their network unless there's a value to it. You're going to bring value into it. So, you know, someone asked me the other day when I was giving a lecture at a university, a kid came up and said, hey, Richard Price, can you introduce me to him? No. Hell no. Why should I introduce him to him? Oh, I got the best thing he needs. I know I can help him. No, you can't. You can't help him. And you got to be honest.
Right.
So it's a give and take. That's why I say the cardinal rule of networking is giving.
I like that. Yes. So are there ways to get people to remember you when you're in a networking situation?
Yeah, there's many ways. You know, be early. When you're early to an event, if you go into an event, I'll use an example with the events. If you're early in an event, people come to you. And when they come to you, they remember, oh, you're the first person I met there. When you're at an event, ask a question. Raise a hand. And that's one of the most embarrassing things there is. If you're going to an event and there's a guest speaker and nobody asks a question. I mean, not, you know, you're not trying to brown nose or something like that, but you know, that they probably took the time and the effort to be there. So to be remembered is be able to ask some a question. Raise your hand. My name is Charles Ruffalo. I'm from the Networking Corporation. I'd like to ask this question. And then maybe the picture's taken, and then you're on the cover of the Rolling Stones. Hey, I took a picture. So that's some ways to remember. And also going up and thanking the guest speaker or the presenter. Go up and say, thank you for taking the time. And people went, wow, you remembered that. Because ask somebody who's given a presentation, when's the last time someone thanked you, came up and says, thank you. It's a small gesture. And you're going to a party, bring something that you know the person really likes. Don't bring just a bottle of wine or a plant. If you know that this person really likes whatever it may be, sports, or he likes, to go to the movie. Like sometimes people say, a school or something says, Mr. Ruffalo, we can't pay you. We don't have anything in our budget. We'll give you something. What would you like? Give me two free tickets to the movies with popcorn and a drink, so I can treat my wife to a movie, and I go to the movies. So they give me that, and they say, wow, you're the one who always wants the movie theater tickets. Yeah, that or pizza. Have pizza. I'll come and get food. Have pizza. So invite me and I'll have pizza. So you stand out in different ways. How you dress. Some people dress in such a way that you can always identify him. I got a good friend who always wears a bow tie. He's always at the bow tie. He goes to an event, he got a bow tie. Or somebody who comes to a formal dinner and he comes with his Converse All-Stars on.
Yeah.
He stands out. Now, right. One time at a President Clinton event here in the Netherlands, everyone was dressed up and there was one guy who just was in jeans and a raggedy shirt. And I was standing there talking to him, a guy, and he came over and I says, you know, can I say something? He said, yeah, of course. I says, you must have a lot of money or you just don't give a shit. He said, why? I said, because you got these raggedy jeans and this shirt. He said, yeah. He said, I got a lot of money.
I love that story.
Yeah. So it was like, oh, okay. Or somebody asks and tells a story that you can relate to. Somebody tells a story and you can see that it's sincere and they're genuine. Doesn't always have to be a joke. Can be just something very serious. And that stays in your mind. That right there is also another way of doing it. So there's many ways to stick in someone's mind. That's why it's important always to get a compliment is remembering something about someone. That's why I say, I may not remember your name, but I try to remember your story. And then I get, you know, I see, hey, I heard last time you were going on vacation or last time you were helping your daughter with her math exam or last time you were trying to, you know, buy a new car or to get something. So you remember that and you bring it back up to them. Then they'll say, wow, you remembered. Yeah, I remember because you told me.
So how do you feel about networking now? Hopefully inspired, because I know I do. I just really feel refreshed that I don't have to play by any of the other rules that people give you about networking. And I want to inspire you to try networking again. If you've had a rough go at it, just see how powerfully it can change you, your career, your bank account next year. And if you want to get in touch with Charles, go to thenetworkingking.com. He's got a ton of wisdom on his website, lots of great videos. So highly suggest you dive in. Hey, thanks so much for checking out this episode. We really try to change our language around money to help others unlock the lives they want to live and live it out on purpose. Now that you're part of our movement, it's up to all of us to invite others into that journey. So share this episode with someone that you think is really ready to make life changes. Let's talk about money, all of us, and have a little fun doing so. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode, and I'll see you back here in a few days for a fresh new episode.